We begin with a face-off between the states and the federal government over voting rights laws and regulations. A federal judge in Kansas ruled this week federal authorities must help states enforce their own voter registration laws, even if they differ from federal policy on elections. The Supreme Court, in some ways, has inflamed this dispute in a ruling last June declaring that Congress has authority over the conduct of elections of federal officials, but also that states could use proof of citizenship and voter IDs as a requirement in their state and local races. Joining us is Kris Kobach, the Secretary of State for the state of Kansas. Secretary, thanks for coming on the program.
My pleasure. Great to be with you, John.
What do you think is going on here? Is this a dispute between federal authorities and state authorities? And have federal judges basically said that states rule in this case?
I think it's a little more specific than that broad characterization. It is absolutely a dispute between the Obama administration and the states of Kansas and Arizona. We sued in August to demand that the federal form, which is the federal voter registration form, match our state requirements. Both Kansas and Arizona have state requirements that a person registering to vote for the first time has to prove his citizenship. And what had happened is the federal government, specifically the federal agency known as the Election Assistance Commission, said, no, we're not going to change the federal form. And that was creating a loophole in our system because the federal form didn't match our form. Anyway, we fought the Obama Justice Department in court, along with a number of intervener defendants who came in, groups like the League of Women Voters, and we won.
Do you expect this to be appealed? And what will be the situation come election time later this year?
Well, the judge's order went into effect immediately. So the states will be able to proceed with our proof of citizenship laws fully intact, and the federal form will have to reflect those laws. Whether they appeal, that's another question. The Obama Justice Department has not made an announcement, but based on their past behavior and other election-related cases where they've fought the cases all the way to the Supreme Court, if necessary, I'm guessing they probably will appeal.
And how many people do you anticipate this affects in your state? Voters, people who would register, people who may or may not have availability of these IDs?
We have yet to find anyone who truly cannot register under our law. The law is very permissive. It's not just a birth certificate or just a passport. There are about 10 documents that can suffice to prove one's citizenship. And even in those very rare instances where, say, somebody was not born in a hospital and maybe was born in the 1920s in a very remote area, even then that person is still able to prove citizenship by submitting affidavits and evidence to a state board showing that they were indeed, say, born in the United States. So we have yet to find anyone who's having true difficulty with it. If you're asking how many people use the federal form, very, very small number. Around 99% of the people will use the state-created form to register to vote. But a small percentage do use the federal form, less than 1% in Kansas.
Kris Kobach is Secretary of State for the state of Kansas. Mr. Secretary, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
For another view and to help us set this in context, we go now to Kareem Creighton, who's a professor of law at the University of North Carolina. Professor, welcome.
Thank you.
So would you go along with the Secretary of State of Kansas that this is a very narrow ruling? It involves a federal form that's used by very few people in the state of Kansas?
It is a very specific ruling, but it has broad implications for policies involving state and federal considerations of the law that sometimes can come into conflict. And that doesn't just apply to election law, but a number of other substantive areas.
And if I'm a member, a citizen of the state of Kansas, how do I interpret this ruling? Why would I use a federal form on a registration, for an election versus a state form? I don't understand how this conflict would even arise for real people.
Right. Well, in about the 1990s, government started adopting policies to make it easier for people to get registered to vote. And one of the provisions, the Motor Voter Act, for example, allowed you to go to a state agency to get any other number of provisions that you might get from the state government, like a driver's license, and get a registration form to vote. The same is true for federal agencies as well. And so depending on the agency you decide to interact with, for business having nothing to do with voting, you might get a form to register. And so it matters whether it's the state or the federal form if the two governments differ.
Ultimately, is this conflict and others like it going to require that some revisiting of voting rights will have to take place to, in some sense, standardize voting practices around the country? Because as time goes on, it may be a completely different experience voting in the South versus voting in the West and voting in the North.
Well, that's really the question that the Supreme Court last summer opened up, perhaps knowingly, about this balance of power between the Congress to establish rules to govern elections, certainly for the federal system, and states, which to some degree have some ability to control elections within its own boundaries. I think that this definitely raises a hard question about what the job is of the Election Assistance Commission, because it's a federal agency that's intended to make more or less uniform standards apply throughout the country. If the district court in Kansas is correct, it seems as though the agency is now going to have a customized form for each state depending on the viewpoint that the state has on matters having to do with citizenship. And that may run against the purpose that Congress had in mind when it created the agency in the first place.
And it's also the case that if you look at your ballot when you're voting, whatever state you're in, based on what the Supreme Court has done, even though they're all on the same page, these candidates, when you're voting for a federal official, you're essentially in a different world than when you're voting for a state and local official.
That's true. And frankly, in previous instances where this has come up, there was a case out of Mississippi shortly after the motor voter law was adopted. Mississippi felt that so strongly about it that they would create their own ballots for state elections versus federal elections. It seems now that that may be in some doubt, that the state may not have to any longer do that, and it may force the federal government to bend to the state's will, which seems to run counter to this notion that federal law has superiority when it comes into conflict with state law. And that's really what the Supreme Court has left open for us to debate about.
All right. So in your view, behind all this legalese, is this about manipulating voters to achieve racial preferences of one kind or another, or is it just federal-state chaos?
Well, it can be a little bit of both. I think there definitely are partisan considerations that, of course, the states see in the federal government. You know, the secretary called it the Obama Justice Department. Republican and Democratic Justice Departments have been supportive of the EAC. But at the same time, you're right. There are states who have a strong view about going after people they believe not to be citizens. And in some cases, people get caught up in that net that are people who look like they may not be citizens to the enforcement agencies, which may look a lot like racial profiling. So that's, I think, the debate that we're going to see unfold in the next few months and years.
Kareem Creighton is a professor of law at the University of North Carolina. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.